Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 240. It is the week of April 24th, 2017. I'd like to thank you for coming along. Thanks for downloading the show. Again, if you're a returning listener, I really do appreciate that. Of course, I appreciate all the loyal listeners out there that I've received emails from over the years at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And if you're a new listener, I'd like to thank you for checking out the show. This episode is going to be about 50K preparation, more specifically supplies. I'll talk a little bit about mileage prep because I'm usually on the lower end of weekly mileage when it comes to these things. I don't want to overtrain by any means. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the mileage I've done for the last few weeks, just to kind of give you an idea, if you've never done a 50K before, the kind of mileage that I did that I feel that will give me confidence to know that I can cover the distance with the training. And then I'm going to go and kind of revisit my supply list, my itemized list of gear and stuff for when I go on a trip. To do an ultra, specifically flying flying on a plane. I've only done that for I think this is my third ultra that I've gone on where I've actually taken a plane. So you got to have to kind of consolidate your gear a little bit. You can't just completely pack your car, and you're not really gonna might not have a car to drop your gear at. So I'm gonna talk about the race I'm doing, which is called Trail Marathon. It's in the Pinckney Recreational area, which I have found out is about 20 minutes from Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I'll be flying up to Michigan this weekend to do that race. And I'm pretty excited because I've never been to Michigan, and I've never been to that part of the country. The farthest north I've ever been is Toronto. When I was a child, we lived in Buffalo, New York, and we took some trips up to Toronto before. And I'm pretty sure that's the farthest north I've ever been. And I'd have to check a map, but I'm guessing that Toronto is farther north than Michigan, Ann Arbor. I think there's probably some areas of Michigan that are probably farther north than some areas of Canada and vice versa. I know most of Canada is going to be farther north than the United States. But basically, I don't really know the whole geography. So I'm going to learn a little bit about that this week, so I'll know where I'm going to be. But the race is just called Trail Marathon, and it's got several options to it. On Saturday the 29th, they have the half marathon. And then on Sunday, they have the marathon and then the 50K. And the 50K consists of two of the 13.1-mile loops. So it's a double loop course plus a 5-miler in a different part of this recreational area. And I've read a lot about the course. A couple different people are hosting me while I'm up in Michigan. Marisa being the first one, her and her husband Corey, the Brimhalls, they're going to host me, and I've gotten a lot of information about the course from her because she's run the half marathon there before. It's a lot of ups and downs, and she described it as very narrow, single track at times with roots and rocks and stuff, but not really a muddy course. There was some description by her that it drains well, but then there's some areas where it is really steep, where the people who manage the recreational area have put in some kind of erosion material, and I don't really know what that's called, so I did a little checking on that because I was kind of curious. And so some of the names of some of those products looks like that's used to control erosion on slopes is called straw wattle or erosion control blankets, geocells, plastic netting, kind of maybe a burlap material also. So I'm kind of curious what that is and how that works to control some of the erosion, I guess, probably just because of the weather there. I know Michigan has different types of weather. So I'm not going to really stress out too much over the course. I recall back when I was preparing for the Mississippi Trail 50, how worried I was getting about the nature of the course, because it was described as several stream and creek crossings where you were going to go under the water. That's not the kind of race that really attracts me overall. It's more of the distance, but I do know that sometimes when you want to challenge yourself, you have to do do some different things, and everything worked out just fine down in Mississippi. So I just did shoe changes because I have this real big concern of my feet being wet over a long period of time, and then the skin gets real soft and breaks, and then I just have a miserable time for the latter part of the race, and then the recovery after that, walking and all that. So I try to prevent that. If you're a longtime listener to the show, you have heard me talk about the deadly triangle of blistering, where you have heat, moisture, and friction. And if you can remove one of those elements or minimize one of those elements as much as possible, then the blistering won't happen. It may be as severe. It might still happen, but it won't be as severe if you can minimize or even completely remove one of those elements. And if I run somewhere where it's not wet, my feet just tend to perspire a whole lot, and so that creates the moisture there. But one thing I did down in when I ran the 50 miler down in the Florida Keys some years back, sock changes, I would cool my feet off because it was so hot. So I tried to reduce the heat as much as possible. And then, of course, with the trail race, you're going to have more friction than if you were on the road because your foot's going to slide around the shoe a little bit. So I've got some challenges there that I've just been thinking a lot in my head, and but trying not to let it overcome me because I've got the distance. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm excited to go to another state, run a marathon, run an ultra, meet some new people. And at the race, I think I'm the only one from Virginia at the race. I did look at the list of participants. It looks like I'm the only one from Virginia, at least as of last week when I looked it up. So I got to represent the Commonwealth, and I certainly want to do that. And I'm just excited to go do something different and renew some friendships of some folks that I've met over the years. And, of course, Sandy's going to host me, she and her husband Eric. I will see them for the latter part of my trip, and then during that time, we're going to do a meetup with Dirt Dog, who runs the Dirt Dogs Running Diatribe podcast. I've talked with Mike before over the internet, but never met in person, so I'm pretty excited to have kind of this podcast listener meetup, which is, a little awkward, make a little nervousness with it, but really, it's just people that love to talk about running. And I've said before, the only thing that's for me that's more fun than running is talking about it. So we'll do plenty of that while I'm up in the Michigan area, just outside Ann Arbor. So before I get to my some of the supplies that I'm going to be using, and I'll talk a little bit about the mileage that I've done, just to kind of give you an idea of where I'm at. I peaked at 50 miles a couple weeks ago. That was my goal, was to peak at 50 miles. Any time I go past that, which I have in the past, I really start feeling my body breaking down a little bit. I can just feel those little twinges here and there. Getting in and out of the car, just you feel like an old man. You feel really weak. And so I wanted to stay right at 50. So I did meet that goal. But let me back up to like the first week of March, and I'll just kind of work my way through March and April. Not with each individual run. I'm just going to talk about my weekly mileage, because I did vary it, and I did take some, definitely put some rest in there. And once I started the double long runs on the weekend, that's the double long run sandwich. That's the long run on Saturday, and then about half the distance on Sunday of the long run on Saturday, and then you sandwich it with Friday and Monday rest days. I didn't do that during one of the weeks just because of time. I was on call for work, and sometimes when I'm on call for my job, I have to run when I'm available and I have the motivation. And sometimes I'll get called in the middle of the night and I'll have to go out for several hours, and that really throws if I get called at 1:30 in the morning, I get home at 5, I'm not going to get up at 6 and do a 20 miler starting at 7 a.m. It's just not going to happen. So I had to adjust a little bit there. But first week of March was when I got to 35 miles for the week at the highest point. And then the next week, just because I had a training class going on that I was teaching, I just couldn't get home after work to do the runs. So I just bagged the midweek runs and just did 10 on the weekend. And that was a real nice time to rest, because the next week I did 40 for the week. And then the week right after that, I did 45. And, 45 and 50 are pretty close. So the even if I had never gotten to the 50-mile mark, I would have been satisfied with getting a 45. Next week I did just 20. And then the week after that is when I peaked at my 50 miles for the week, which I was very, very satisfied with. It just all worked out. Everything worked. I got, 8 milers, 2 8s and 2 7s during the week. And then I did 20 on Saturday. And I think that adds up to 50. And I wasn't able to do the Sunday run. The next week I did 10, because I was out on, we went to Florida for spring break, and I just decided I wasn't going to do any run at all. I was just going to relax, which is what we did. We did go on a little hike, but it wasn't like to measure mileage or anything. And then this week that just wrapped up, this past week I did 25, and I'm going to add 0.4 in there because I'm supposed to be tapering, but I wanted to do some more running, and I didn't want there to be a 10-mile week and then just kind of run flat, not have much, and then go into the week before the race, which is really going to be a rest week. I might get out there and do a little running on the treadmill, and I still go to the gym and do the weights, but there's really no plan to do anything significant. But the reason I ended up getting up to 25.4 is because I ran the Ashland Railroad run twice. This past Saturday, the 22nd, was the 39th annual Ashland Railroad run. This is the same event that I was the race director for 4 years, and I started all three races. But what I did is there's a 5K at 8 o'clock a.m., then at 8:15 they have kids 1 mile race, and then at 9 is the 10K. And over the last, since I kind of retired, you know, quote, retired as race director, I have been asked to come back and volunteer and start the races. So I did that again this year. But before I did that, and I actually arranged to get a free complimentary bib. So after I started the 10K at 9 o'clock, after I guess 50 or so people ran past me, I put the megaphone down and the air horn down, gave that to the race director, Paul. And then I jumped in and ran because I already had my bib on and ran that. But what I did is I got out early that morning because I wanted to do a double-digit run, and I really didn't plan to do 12.4 miles that day, but it just kind of worked out. I got up and went out and ran the course just by myself early, and then finished up about 7:20. That gave me plenty of time to kind of freshen up a little bit, get something to eat, and then start the 8 o'clock race. And so I did 12.4 miles on Saturday, but I did it in two 6.2 mile segments. And then I was feeling so good from, I've been doing hill training for the last 2 weeks, with the exception of spring break. I was able to run a 9:50 overall pace for the 10K. I ran an hour and 1 minute, which is good for me because I usually run the much slower. Even though it's a shorter distance, I'm not going to run it any faster because it was still technically a training run. But what I did is I would run a mile, walk a tenth, and when I was running that mile, I was picking up the pace quite a bit because I've been doing the hill training and my lactic threshold was higher, and it was pretty effective and worked that day, and so I was very pleased with that, and I had a much better finishing time than I would that I was planning for, because I was just going to plan it, just going to run it for fun, not for any kind of finishing time. But after I did a couple, I guess you could call them mile intervals, I did a mile, you know, run a mile, walk that tenth, I guess then technically run 0.9, not really run a mile. And I think the hills training with the managing of that lactic acid threshold, which you have to manage on hills, I think that worked because you get it too when you run a faster pace. So I was very pleased with that. So here I am the week before the race, really just a few days before I fly up to Detroit, before I make my way to Ann Arbor. And I just thought I would go over some of the stuff that I'm planning on bringing, or at least that I'm considering. I haven't made my final list. And so the podcast, like I've said before many times, is really just a kind of a way to keep hold myself accountable for some of these goals that I set for myself. And as a result of that, I've been able to share lots of ideas with different people over the last several years since I've been doing the show, and getting different ideas about what to do and how to handle these ultras with supplies. So the logistics for this are that I'm going to be getting dropped off, and then I'm not going to have a car to leave all my stuff in. So I'm going to need to have a drop bag. And what I've done in the past is I've used a plastic bin, a plastic container, a little bit bigger than a shoebox, maybe twice the size of a shoebox. And I'm going to put that in my suitcase and then just pack stuff in it so I can use that on race day, because it keeps your stuff dry and it's clear so you can see the stuff. My eyesight has gotten to the point where whenever I have something in a bag, it has to be in a light colored bag, like with a white bottom, so I can see the stuff at the bottom. And so the clear bin is an excellent thing for me to use, and I've found it to be very effective because everything is it doesn't get mashed. It you can see it right away. It's easy to carry. If you have somebody crewing for you, they can find stuff pretty easily. And then you can put little containers inside of there too, if you want. If you need to, if you have something that you need to keep all your electronic stuff together, you can put a little box in there. So that's what I plan on doing. And so some of the things that I'm probably going to need, and what I don't want to forget, I'm definitely going to bring my gaiters, because I have a real knack for being able to have the perfect toss of rocks and debris that just perfectly gets tossed into the back of my shoe with my gait. So I'm going to definitely bring the gaiters. That's a have to. And the cool thing with the shoes I have, the Ultra Olympus shoes, is they have Velcro on the back, which matches up with the little piece of Velcro on the bottom of the gaiter in the back of the shoe. So that works out really good. I used those up when I did, I think I wore them when I did the half marathon up on a trail in February, and that worked out really good. So I'll take those. I can't decide if I'm going to take two or three pairs of shoes, and here's why. If it's muddy or really wet, because it looks like weather's forecast, I've been told don't keep looking at the forecast, because weather in Michigan can change pretty quick. But it does look like rain, so I need to plan for that. And so I've been advised to bring lots of layers so I can discard the wet stuff. After the first 13.1 mile loop, I'll be able to come in and probably change into dry stuff. So at that point, if my shoes are soaking wet, I will change into dry shoes and dry socks. So that would be at least two pairs. The website didn't say anything about drop bags, because you don't really need them. You can leave your stuff at the start finish, it sounds like. So I'm just going to have to suffer through. If the shoes get wet right away, I'll just change them. And if they're really wet when I get back from the second loop, I guess I can run five more miles in wet shoes. So I might bring a third pair if come Thursday night before I leave. It's still pouring down rain forecast. I think I would be wise to bring that third pair so I can switch into a dry pair for the last 5 miles and not worry about being so. I definitely will change socks. And as a matter of fact, there's a possibility that I will even change socks during the 13.1 mile loop, because I've done that before. I just put them in my in a little gear belt, because my feet are really, it sounds silly what I'm talking about, but my feet are, the skin is so thin, it just likes to rub off and get really raw and get uncomfortable, and I just don't want to have be dealing with any hot spots in the middle of the 6-7 miles out. I'll be dealing with that if I can fix the problem with in 2 minutes, pulling off the old socks, putting on the new ones, and just being dry for the next 30 minutes or as much as possible. I'll take multiple pairs of socks. Matter of fact, I'm looking at my Mississippi Trail 50 list from back in February of last year, and I actually have 20 pairs of socks. I didn't bring 20 pairs, but I must have set. I don't know why I put 20 pairs, but I'll definitely bring that. Then I use baby powder, and I've got this other stuff that Sandy gave me that I sprinkle into my socks ahead of time that kind of creates a lubricant in between the skin and the sock. So I add a few things together. Vaseline to rub on my toes. My toes like to rub together, although the wide toe box of the Ultra brand shoe that I wear has really prevented a lot of that since I've been wearing those over the last couple of years. Body Glide and nip guards. I mean, I tell you, I've pleaded with men before, please take care of your nipples, because there's nothing worse than seeing a guy with bloody nipples out on the trail. And I've actually seen a bloody female before too, with bloody nipples, and it's just disgusting. And it's completely preventable. Early on when I was younger, and we would see pictures from the Richmond Marathon or whatever in the newspaper or whatnot, every now and then you'd see a guy with bloody nipples in a picture. And I used to think that a guy's nipples would bleed because they were just doing this incredible distance, and it was just a way of the body is under such trauma that the nipples bleed. That was such a naive and ignorant way of thinking, because it has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is just the fact that you forgot to take care of that friction problem, which is completely preventable. And so I have this product now. It's actually not the brand Nip Guard. It's something that's a little smaller, and It's passed the shower test. When I've gone out and done some real long runs, I've got home, got cleaned up, taken a shower, and then I realized that they're still on. So if it passes the shower test, then it's definitely going to pass the marathon test. So I'll make sure I bring those two, probably bring multiple ones just in case there's a fail. You never know. Two pairs of shorts. just in case one rips. And the reason I say that is because back when I did my first 50 miler, it was a North Face Endurance Challenge back in, oh gosh, I think it was 2010. I actually had some shorts rip, and I couldn't continue on with those shorts. So I did have an extra pair, and I changed in the woods. So I'm going to bring two pairs of shorts, at least two shirts. I'm being advised to bring multiple layers, so that'll probably be multiplied by at least two. That way I can put on a second shirt and a jacket if it gets cold, if the weather changes. I'm really going to be watching that forecast really carefully and probably be making some changes to this right at the end. iPod, earphones, a cell phone charger, that kind of stuff. A plastic bag in case of rain. I would definitely have that on hand just so I can, in case it's pouring down rain, I can put everything, my plastic bin, in this bag so it doesn't get wet any further. And that way I can open up the bin kind of in the bag and keep some of the water off of that. Hat or visor, sunglasses. Let's see, for 13.1 miles, and there's water stops along that loop, I'm probably just going to bring one handheld water bottle. That should take care of that. S-caps, which I always take those on because I'm such a heavy sweater. Aspirin, my waist pack, chapstick. I always take chapstick because there's nothing worse than having a conversation with somebody after a race is over and your lips are all beat up or they're really, really dry, and all you do is keep licking your lips and making it worse. And I'm kind of a chapstick addict, so I always have some in my pocket. So that means I've always got to have some at the race that I'm doing. Washcloth, and this is really good for my face. And if it's hot, I like to get it really wet and then just rub it over my face and it really in the back of my neck. And man, it really feels good if you can get access to some cold water. And then on the flip side of that is I have an ice bandana that I've worn before. And it really only works for about 10 to 15 minutes after you freshen it up with cold water. But I will bring that just in case, because it looks like the temperatures now would be a high of 70, which means, and the sun's out, it's going to feel a lot harder than that. Got my goo packets. I use Carb Boom, the vanilla orange flavor. I've got digital recorder on here in case I want to do any podcast segments. Directions, which I won't need because I'm going to be dropped off, so that'll be really nice. Flip-flops, and then here's the most important thing, a separate plastic bag for soiled socks or other clothing, because there's nothing worse than having to pack wet, stinky-ass clothes that you've been sweating in for hour after hour after hour, especially in the highest friction parts of your body. There's nothing worse than having to put that back with your regular stuff. So I bring a separate bag, and that stuff goes in there, and that just gets dealt with later. I don't even worry about it. Trash clothes. I don't know what that means. Travel clothes. and then what I'll probably do when I'm down there, I'll probably buy a couple honey buns, which I have used before, just to have it in my bag in case some of the food there, which the website says they have major aid. I don't know what that means. Usually most websites about ultramarathons will have the kind of food that they're going to have there. So I've prearranged already to see if I get some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'm kind of relying on my host for that. So hopefully that'll work out. I'm sure it will. In the past, I've used what I call my camping stool. I have a folding stool that I use for camping that I sit on in my tent. And I usually bring that when I'm working out of the back of my car for if I do an ultra where I drive to it. That way I can sit down. It's high enough off the ground where it's easy to get up, but it's low enough where you can reach your shoes. Whereas I've tried to sit on my tailgate before of my car, and it's just a little too high to reach my shoes from changing shoes and socks. So I usually bring a camping stool, but I think it's going to be too heavy to put them in my suitcase, so I'm probably going to leave that at home. So that's everything I've got on my list, with the exception of I forgot to put my Succeed powder, and I've kind of moved over to something called Tailwind, which it's kind of a lemonade flavor, and I've been using that for this whole training cycle. It's something that Ashley and Tom is opened me, you know, he's lent me a whole bunch, and I used a bunch of his old stuff. And then he had some extra, two extra bags, and me and Brian Klein bought some from him. And so I've got this big bag, so I think I'm going to bring that. Probably not the whole bag. I'll probably measure out, you know, a whole bunch in a plastic baggie, and hopefully I won't get in trouble at the airport if they go through my bag and see what it is. But it's really just a it's a calorie mix, and it just gives you a lot of liquid calories, which get absorbed really quick into the stomach. And I've found over the years that that works really well for me. And I use that in conjunction with the S-Cap. So I'll probably stick with the Tailwind. That's probably what I'm going to do this time around, because it's really well worked really good in my training. And what they say, you got to, you know, don't do anything new on race day. So I'll stick with the Tailwind. And I recommend that for anybody who's thinking about trying a different supplement drink for real long stuff like marathon and beyond, because it's really worked well for me in training. And yeah, that was my cat that just meowed. I don't know if you heard that, but let me go off on a quick tangent in reference to this cat. His name is Abraham Lincoln, and but his nickname is Junior. And the funny thing about this cat is, and I've talked about him before, so just bear with me if you've already heard this story. He just found us a few years ago. He just showed up on the porch. I was in a training class in another city when I was talking to my wife. And she said, we have a cat now that just showed up at the house. And he's a cute little gray cat. I don't know how old he was when he showed up. But he was free. He just showed up. He didn't have any collar or anything. And he didn't leave. And we're not really cat people. We're dog people. We've always had a dog. Well, the cat hadn't left yet. And he's kind of turned in quite a little member of the family. So what happened was, after we had him for a while, he has this tendency to rub his head against stuff all the time. And he started doing that and rubbing the hair off his head. And then he also then started chewing on his tail about halfway down the tail, and chewed it right down to, I guess, the ligament. And we thought it would kind of heal back, because we've had a dog that's broke his tail before, and that kind of just healed up on its own. But this one had to be surgically removed halfway down. And so that cost $620, and that was a couple years ago. So the free cat cost $620. So he's got another nickname called Mr. Halftail. But he's turned into a pretty good cat. He just meowed because he'd been in the house all day, and he wanted to go out, open the door, but he didn't go out. And he sleeps in the house during the day. He stays out at night. He's very clean, and he's never made any mess in the house. I don't know how that's possible. So that's all I'm going to say about the cat. He's a pretty good cat. He's kind of like the little lap dog that climbs up in your lap or sits next to you in my magic chair. And dog's too big to do that. And plus, he just drops yellow fur all over you. But we like the cat. And he also walks around the block in the mornings when we walk the dog around the block. The cat walks with us. It's really weird. I've always heard about people who walk their cats. I never thought I'd be one of them. But we are apparently people that now walk our cat. All right, well, that is the content of the show. I've got several emails since the last show, so we're going to jump into the email bag section of the show, see who checked in this week. And you can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And one of my emails is about the Spartan race. So it looks like I'm going to have another giveaway for Spartan. So if you've listened this long and you do the Spartan events, stay tuned for that, because I will have that email here in this show here shortly. So let's go ahead and check out the email bag section of the show. All right, heard from Neil, who is he volunteers up at the dog run races that I do up at King George County. He sent me some links to the videos that he did from the half marathon up there in February, and there are 360 videos so you get to see everything. And he sent me these, and I was looking at them, and at first I couldn't find myself in them, and then he told me he went back and looked at them and found them. And so I was able to look at them again, and I was looking at them on my cell phone, and that's when I realized that you can turn the phone and see different angles, and I thought that was really cool. I'm probably the last person that knows about that, but I thought it was really neat. And so, Neil, I appreciate you sending those along, and appreciate you listening to the show and doing those videos. He had he said it was a snowman costume, but he looked like that snowman, the little snow guy from Oh, I can't even. The movie Frozen. At first, I thought that's who he was. Sorry, Neil. Sorry about that. I know you probably don't think that's that funny. And then, of course, Sandy going back and forth with trying to make travel arrangements and getting everything together. That's going to be really fun. I think we're going to do the meetup with Dirt Dog. I heard from him also. And we're going to, I think, do some pizza and beer, which I told her sounds great to me. And usually don't ever turn that down. Then also heard from Alex, and he did another little video from like Link Lake to Gold Eater Lake, which is down in Arizona. And it looked like he was using a GoPro camera. And I've seen a lot of these. You see a lot of these videos now. And Alex, yours was really cool. I appreciate you sending that along. I have to say, I used to do some of my own videos as well, but it was before selfie stick and it was before the GoPro. I used to have, I still do. I have this small Canon digital camera that is smaller than a cell phone. It's smaller than the typical size of a cell phone, and I can put it in a little waist pouch. And I used to do my own selfie stick by holding the camera up, and I would do kind of individual recording segments, and then I would compile those videos into a movie, a DVD. That I would then make and for kind of to commemorate the race by, and kind of did it for my own enjoyment. But some of the ones I did were pretty good, and I've listed those before on the website, and I've made those available. I haven't gotten any interest in those lately. But the reason I want to bring that up is because the list of them is on ashanddave.podbean.com. It's at episode number 235. And so if you go to that, you'll see the list of the ones that I've done. They're not all of me. I've done some of Ashland Tom. Some of these are marathons, but three of them are 50 milers, and I was there when Tom attempted the 100 miler, and so we got that. Sterling Gym 40 miler, the Graveyard 100K, and then the Florida Keys 100 miler. So I've made videos of those. All of them you can pop into your DVD and watch them. They're pretty interesting. And then I just request a donation to the Ashland Christian Emergency Services, and I just send you the information on that, and that's completely on your honor system. So I bring that up just because I used to do some of the videos myself, but I would make them longer into movies to kind of document the race. And so, Alex, the key thing is running and filming without tripping. And one time I did that, and I did that, and I got it on film, and every now and then I'll pull that video up and rewatch it just to laugh a whole bunch. So appreciate you sending that along. Heard from Down Under Dave. This is David Williams from Australia, or from New Zealand rather. And he was the one that was interviewed back on episode 236. So if you go to ashanddave.podbean.com, you can listen to that interview. That was pretty cool. He did a stage race through Cambodia. But more recently, he did a race in India, and he says he's getting back to normal after traveling to India. He said they were with a small group of farmers. They traveled 5,000 kilometers in a month, saw a whole lot. They're still talking about it. He went to the Taj Mahal, the Golden Temple. He said every day they discover some different things, and he said the people out in the countryside were very, very friendly, a lot friendlier than in the cities, because apparently they don't ever see any white people, so they got swamped with people, quote, taking selfies and wanting to get close to us. So that was pretty neat. So one of the highlights was being about 10 meters from a huge tiger when they were taking a tour. They were in an open Jeep. It looked straight at him and roared. So that was pretty frightening. And looks like he has a 24-hour race coming up, and he's going to run walk 100 kilometers for that. So he has time for a nap. So good to hear from you, Dave. Really do appreciate that. And I always appreciate you listening to the show. It's always good to hear from you. Heard from Scott Perkinson. He let me know about the Night Train Ultra Run, which is in July on High Bridge State Park, which is in Farmville or Prince Edward County, not too far from here. It's an inaugural race, and I appreciate you, Scott, for hooking me up with that. I did hear about it. I appreciate you sending the link. And I think I heard from you before. I can't remember, but if you could let me know where you hail from, just send me another email at ashanddave@gmail.com. Love to hear from you and see if you're in the area. I think you might be. Got another video from Alex about a beer mile, which is absolutely crazy. I've never done one. I'm not sure if I would make that or not, but it's definitely something to consider. Okay, here's the Spartan offer here. So what I have to do, apparently what Spartan is doing is they have a new partnership with Marriott Rewards, and they're partnering for these Spartan races, and so there's an exclusive offer. Okay, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's offering this exclusive offer, but I've been asked to pass it on, and then the result of me passing that on to the podcast listeners and then posting that at ashlanddave@gmail.com or ashlanddave.podbean.com, I can offer a free race code to one of the listeners. So what I'm going to do is post that, and then once I get an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com, I'll let Dan know that I have gotten an interest, and then, which means somebody saw the marketing, and then you can get a free race code for a Spartan race. And I think it's for an open entry. It's not for, I think, an elite entry. So what they're doing is the Spartan is now partnering with Marriott Rewards. 20% off races, free VIB bag check, and $5 off Spartan gear at the races. Once you enroll, points are earned when you stay at any of the 4,500 participating hotels around the world. And so I know a lot of people out there that travel, you might use Marriott for their marathon hotel or whatever when they're traveling somewhere. So I'm going to post the link at ashlanddave.podbean.com, and you can check that out there if you're interested. And if it is something that you want to do, send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I'll get the free race code over to you. So that'll be first come, first serve basis. So appreciate Dan for offering that. Heard from Dr. Smitty. And when I was talking about the railroad run earlier, I forgot to mention that Greg came up for that. And he also had a friend up here named Abby who traveled separately, but also is from his Big Ugly Running Posse group down there. And we had a great time visiting before the race and after, and had a flight of beer at the caboose at about 10:30 in the morning. So what a better way to start off your Saturday than a flight of beers, which is what we did, and had breakfast. And Greg, unfortunately, had sprained his ankle the week before, so he was only able to do the 5K. But it was great to see him. And we're trying to arrange some type of event to go down and visit Greg down in the Chesapeake, Virginia area. So that'll be really cool. Always good to see you, Greg. I'm really glad that you come up for that. I heard from Tim of Chattanooga area, Tennessee. He says he is registered for the Richmond Marathon. Hopes we can meet up with me at the race. And I'm like, yeah, man, we are definitely doing the half marathon, but the start times are very close to each other, so we will definitely do a meetup down there where everybody's milling around on Broad Street for the race. So we'll definitely meet up because Ashton Tom usually paces the four-hour marathon group. So we all go down there together, and I'm definitely looking forward to meeting up with you. Let's see. He says he's meeting up with Jim Daly, who produces The Seeker podcast, and several listeners, along with a woman that he met last month at Chattanooga, are going to be coming to Richmond. So I'm going to check out that podcast. I've never heard of that. And he's staying at the Hampton Inn, not far from the start and finish. I am not familiar where the Hampton is down in Richmond, Tim. I'll have to look that up. We live in Richmond, but I don't know where the Hampton Inn is. I'll have to find that out because I'm not sure where that is. I'm going to leave your email up. Let's see. I appreciate the email. I really do. I heard from Podbean saying that I have a new follower, and that is JRUSTICK, Jay Rustic. So thanks for listening to the show. Appreciate that. And all right, that is it for the email bag section of the show. I'd like to thank everybody for listening this week. I'll be back after the trail marathon with a full race report, probably with some audio from the race, which is what I like to really do. It helps pass the time when you're out there by yourself. If you're not talking to anybody, you can always talk to yourself as long as you don't answer back. That's when you need to really start worrying about things, if you start answering back when you're talking to yourself. But this is Ashton David. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashton, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week.